You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is currently Saturday, July 15th, the year 2000. Brian Kilby here. Sorry that I wasn't in last week, and sorry that I'm late this week. Had computer problems, amongst other things. Last week I had to reformat my hard drive and back up all of my data. I've been pretty busy for the past few weeks, too. I'm working on some behind-the-scenes RSE stuff, HTML stuff mostly. That's what I've been doing, actually, for the last few weeks. You know, HTML stuff, JavaScript stuff, Java. It's pretty insane, really. Let me see. I was supposed to promote something for WheezeBucket.com. I believe he was wanting help. But since the reformatting of my hard drive, I lost his message and his email address. So I'll put the link on the homepage, and you can get in contact with the webmaster. He was needing something. Wanting Transformers experts. Let me see. Also, I watched The X-Men last night. I really liked it. Liked it a lot. As far as comic movies go, it's top-notch. It's right up there with Superman 2 and Batman. Oh, and finally, I'd like to thank Mottboy for filling in last week. He did all of the fancy schmancy editing stuff that I'm not going to do because I'm lazy. Yeah, he does what he, you know, he's good at what he does. Since I'm stressed for time here, I'll get right into it. This week we have the ATT Buzz, news from Cybertron. I do an itty-bitty discussion on the Japanese dubs, you know, the Japanese shows that are in English. Rattrap 007 tries that 5-minute review game, Thingorama. You know, he tries to review as many toys as he can in 5 minutes. I started it. Goldimus Prime did it. Someone else may go into it, I don't know. Also, Rattrap has trivia. Goldimus Prime reviews Car Robots, Episode 3, and Poison Bites. And Turin also talks about what is canon and what is just fodder. That's it, really. Let's start things off with the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
Due to some OS problems, Ironhide is out of action this week. After uninstalling Quake 2, he lost a very important file, eau.dll. Now he demands to be called Gary Glitter and refuses to bathe. Our thoughts and prayers are with him through this ordeal. It seems that the new Quintesson restaurant isn't garnering the attention that its owners were expecting. "Who wouldn't want authentic Quintesson cuisine?" said one of the owners, running his slimy tentacles through a bowl of Dramadon soup. "It's prepared in front of you," he continues. "We offer everything from our special, the five phases of casserole, to the classic shark to sushi." RFC's restaurant critic puts the blame on the, quote, "creepy atmosphere and incessant moans of death." Finally in the news, Braun is dead. Get over it. That's it for the news from Cybertron this week. Tune in next week for more. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and it is week 2 of my non-going-to-school vacation self, and I'm loving it. In fact, for the first time in 2 years, basically, I had a donut Monday night. And this is a big deal, because for the past 2 years, I've been working out in the gym 4 times a week, building muscle, and surviving on fruit and grilled chicken. And let me tell you, after that amount of time, a donut or a piece of pizza, well, they're no longer food. In fact, a donut is a round, fried piece of crack cocaine. I hope to make it to BotCon in some respectable form. Hopefully not a form that resembles Unicron, bedridden, something out of Jerry Springer specials. But the way things are going, you never know. Okay, back to Transformers, back on topic. And our first subject for ATT this week is Supreme Cheetor, who showed up with the 2 Ultras, apparently, in the stores, although most people didn't comment on him with the initial sightings of those 2 Ultras, probably because they didn't see him. They didn't notice the house cat in a box. They were probably too caught up with the new Ultras, which are pretty nifty. I've seen them. I didn't notice Supreme Cheetor in the Target that I saw the 2 Ultras in, but anyway, the point of this is, on ATT, the reaction to Cheetor has been surprising, shocking, actually, in the fact that it's been balanced. it's been civil. Not really many people are fighting. I think everybody's in agreement that it's a good toy, and at the same time, it's a bad toy. If you love the character, if you love Cheetor, you won't mind spending $40 for this huge, huge, massive thing. But if you have any doubts about the toy, if you're not that wild about Beast Machines, then you're probably not going to be too impressed with this thing, especially for $40. Basically, what you're buying is a bunch of flashy lights and size, because the Mega's more complicated than him, and, you know, the details aren't that great. But I'm not going to go into the details too much, because I'm sure RFC and the rest of the gang will have plenty to say about Supreme Cheetor. Okay, next subject for ATT, Transformers the movie. It's not going to happen. It looks like Mainframe and Hasbro don't have any plans right now to make any kind of Transformer-related movie. Now, what's the big deal about this? The big deal is nothing, and that's what ATT was upset about, because we never really had any proof that there was going to be a movie in the first place. The only thing we had was like some blurb on some website run by a fat redheaded guy that said, some kind of press release or something, that said it was in development, which could mean anything, you know? And now, there's nothing to be had. So we never had any definite proof either way. There's no big loss here. And to tell you the truth, there was really no hope of having a Transformers movie. I mean, look at it. At the most, what we were probably going to get was some hour-long, straight-to-video Beast Machines episode. But apparently, the only way that would have happened if the ratings were through the roof, or if everybody loved Beast Machines. And I don't think either one of those was the case. And finally, on ATT, avast your ears. If you don't want to be spoiled, just wait till the end of the ATT Buzz to turn down the volume right now. And wait till ATT Buzz is over, because I'm about to reveal possibly one of the BotCon exclusives. And I'm about to do it the proper way. See, I'm giving you spoiler space, unlike some people on ATT. Okay? Give you a second. Okay, I think you've had ample time to turn down the volume. So apparently everybody who's still listening wants to, or is about to know, possibly, probably, what the larger size BotCon exclusive is going to be. And it's going to be Shoko Rack, the repainted Transmetal Rampage. Apparently Spooky, you know, the guy who perfectly legally gets Hasbro toys like 3 or 4 years before everybody else, of course, perfectly legally, has gotten his hands on some, at least the information, maybe even the toy, who knows. We don't know, but as far as he knows, and he says he knows, that Shoko Rack is a repainted Transmetal Rampage, and ATT was none too happy to find this out with very little spoiler space and a title of the post that really wasn't too specific. It was kind of, it said there was a Shoko Rack revelation, but you know, when you have that kind of information, you're going to let that out. You need to say in the title, Shoko Rack, you know, toy revealed. You need to make it clear that this is a major spoiler, this is major information, and this is exactly what this post is going to be about, because lots of people like the surprise of BotCon exclusives. I know last year in the initial advertisement for BotCon, or one of them, they showed one of the exclusives. They haven't done that yet, and most people love the surprise, which was ruined by a certain post from Spooky. Now, while I'm on the subject of Shoko Rack, or however you say it, Shoko Rack. Sounds like a Japanese drag queen, but I digress. While I'm on that subject, let me just say something about names. Hasbro, please. And whoever makes up the BotCon names. I know they get a free pass because they're writing a comic book and they're being dynamic. So they come up with functified names and all this. But Hasbro has no excuse. First we get T-Rex, and then we get all sorts of crazy names like Dinobot for a single person, which is terrible. And in Japan we have Big Daddy and Randy and Stampy. You know, these names have got to stop. If anything, we need to take some names. If you're just, you know, bent on recycling stuff, Hasbro, look at the Target Masters and the Headmaster Partners from G1 and recycle some of those names. I'll give you a sample of some of the cool names. You can use them in fanfics, people, or whatever, but I pray that when the next Transformers come out, they end up on some of the toys. Look, we got names like Tailspin, Hotwire, Ricochet, Tracer, you know, Flintlock. These are cool names. We need to use them again. I don't want to see Randy, you know, the Scorpion or whatever, come out next year. Or, you know, Toady, the mutant spitting toad from Madagascar. I don't need this. But I digress, and I think I'm out of time for this week. That's the ATT Buzz. I am John DeLuna.
Radio Free Cybertron Superior. Other programs inferior.
Thanks for the info there, John. Great as always. Now here's Turin to show off his fancy college education.
Howdy doodly-doo. Yes, once again, it is I, Turin, here to rant and rave and ramble onward. First off, I'd like to apologize for anybody that was offended or disgusted with last week's review of Ultra Jetstorm and T-Rex. There was a completely irrelevant, inappropriate story leading it off that some people took issue with. I'm sorry about that. It wasn't meant to be calloused. It was meant because I was trying to vent because I was sort of feeling pretty bad about what happened, actually. It wasn't meant to be any sort of bragging about it. Quite the contrary. In any case, it was misunderstood by some and offended some others. And I went ahead and actually edited it out of the review. So you may not have even heard it. But anyway, if you did hear it and you had a problem with it, I apologize. Moving onward. This week on ATT, there was yet more discussion in the infamous The Return of the Autobots Hidden Master thread. The thread has drifted a little bit, and people ended up having a discussion about what exactly is canonical in the G1 cartoon and what isn't. Is Sunstreaker really an Autobot? Sure, we assume that he is, but no one ever actually says he is. Did Fujiyama really create Nightbird? Sure, he said he did, but you never know, maybe he was lying. And basically, there are some people who view the cartoon as being open to many different interpretations. In fact, there are people who believe that all interpretations of anything are equally valid, and that nothing can ever be stated as a fact. I can't ever say, Fujiyama did create Nightbird, and anyone that thinks otherwise is wrong. I'm not supposed to ever say that, because nothing is ever, like, provable completely. Well, let's examine this line of thinking a little bit. From what I can tell, it all hinges on an ambiguous redefinition of the word prove. It is said, you can't prove that Fujiyama created Nightbird because I can come up with another scenario that is possible. The idea being, unless there is only one possibility and anything else is 100% impossible, there is no proof. In other words, as long as there's any doubt, any alternate possibilities, as long as there's any doubt, there is no proof. If you're going to prove something, you have to know it 100%, no doubt whatsoever. That's how some people are using the word prove. They say, you can't prove it, and what they mean by that is, you can't prove it 100%. Well, I mean, I hate to just come out and say this, but that is utterly bogus. If that is the definition of the word proof in the English language, then nothing can be proven. I mean, the only thing that I can know 100% for sure is that I exist. I think, therefore I am. That's all I can know for sure. I mean, that is it. Because after all, who knows? Maybe the universe was created just 6 minutes ago, and all my memories are just implanted, and I just think I've lived my whole life and all that stuff. Maybe everybody else in the world is just a soulless automaton that's being controlled by some other consciousness besides myself. Well, sure, there's no evidence for that theory, but it is, by definition, possible, right? But I think we'll all, well, most of us will agree that that is stupid. If there's no evidence to believe a thing, I mean, if there's no evidence whatsoever to believe in something, then believing that thing is not rational. Okay? Prove does not mean 100% no doubt whatsoever. Because as we just showed, there's always doubt. But for some things, the amount of doubt is negligible. It's just so tiny as to be insignificant. Is Sunstreaker an Autobot? Yes. Okay? Just yes. It's a fact. It's a conclusive assumption until proven otherwise. If you study logic, you'll learn about something called a prima facie case, which means that you build up some evidence, and unless someone can show some contrary evidence, your proposition is assumed to be a fact. All right? There's no evidence anywhere whatsoever that Sunstreaker isn't an Autobot. So even if they never came out and said he's an Autobot, he is. Now, if there was no evidence either way, obviously we would just say we don't know. But if there is evidence for one theory, and there isn't evidence for a different theory, then you would think you would go with the one that had evidence. So, unless someone has some evidence to the contrary, arguing that Sunstreaker isn't an Autobot, or even arguing that we can't know for sure, is stupid. Did Fujiyama create Nightbird? He said he did. Everyone in the episode accepted it as such. It was never said, it was never implied in any way that he was lying, then or ever. Therefore, yes, he did create Nightbird. See, it's really not that hard to understand. Some things are provable. Provable in the only reasonable sense of the word, that is. Of course, some things are open to interpretation. How big is Cybertron? Where does Prime's trailer go? Who created the Terracons? Some things, however, are known and are not worth arguing about. Well, there's an old saying, you know, there's nothing so uncommon as common sense. Anyway, this thread on ATT was certainly enlightening, even though, of course, just about all the stuff I've actually heard before, but at least they put a little slightly different spin on the same old irrationality. Anyway. One final thing before I go. I've been trying to introduce my girlfriend to Transformers, and I think I've done a pretty good job of it. In fact, she wrote her own song parody of Natural Woman, and I got permission. I asked her. She said it was okay if I for me to read the lyrics on the air. This is written by my girlfriend. Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, boy, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, I didn't know Optimus Prime. But you showed up and opened my mind. You make me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a Transformer woman. Autobots and Decepticons, Megatron and Wheelie, Cyber Free Radio. And don't forget Pink RC. Names I thought I'd never know. Places I've never been. Flaming Winnebagos got me smiling. Yes, you make me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a Transformer woman. Isn't she great? My girlfriend. Okay, give her a break. She didn't have the original lyrics when she wrote that thing. All she knows about Transformers, she's seen the movie. She actually liked the movie. Actually, I think she liked the movie better than I do. And she liked the parody quite a lot. And that's about all she's seen of Transformers so far, except, of course, some of the stuff that I've told her. By the way, if there's anybody out there that doesn't have a Stampy from the Beast Wars Neo toy line, get one or several now while you still got the chance. Because I'm telling you, those things are chick magnets, all right? If you're ever gonna try to introduce a girl to Transformers, the first Transformer you want to show her is gonna be Stampy, okay? Just trust me on that. And if you don't believe me, ask Vice Grip X. because he knows about that too. All right, that's all the time I have this week, so I may be back next week with something. I have no idea. All right, see you later.
Bye.
To be or not to be, Nebby's question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know. Me slag say you full of beryllium baloney.
Snarl, tell me answer.
Me snarl, want to be.
Yes, yes, no. Me want to be too.
Me want to be too, too.
Too, too.
That was Zabivor there, actually. Right after Turin, thanks Turin. I'm gonna buy Stampy, by the way, now. That was odd, though, with the Grimlock Dinobots Hamlet thing. That's funny. I think it's funny. Coming up right now here on Radio Free Cybertron is Rat Trap 007 with the 5-minute trivia challenge. You like it, Echo? I do too.
Hello, everyone. This is Rat Trap 007. Since pretty much everybody else is doing those 5-minute reviews, I decided I would join in. All right, let me just do my watch. I have it on a timer, and go. Well, Swoop. Swoop was the Dinobot Pterodon. He's got great wings, looks impressive in the Dino mode, and very good looking in the robot mode. I give him about a 8 out of 10. Next we have Cutthroat, one of the monster things that formed Abominus. Well, his beast mode thing, it's decent. I'll give that about a 7. But Robo mode just flat out stinks. He's got puny, wimpy little arms, and so I can only give him about a 4. Rewind looks like he did in the show, so he gets about an 8 for a tape. Mirage, great car mode, good robot mode. I'll give him about a 7. Hound, great vehicle mode and great robot mode, so I'll give him an 8, verging on a 9. Gears, one of the little microbots, decent little car mode, cool little guy, lousy face, he gets about an 8. Warpath looks just like he did in the show, which is a bonus. For the little tank, he's actually kind of cool. So I'll give him about a 9. Prime is about as good as you can get in Gen 1. He gets a 10, a full-fledged 10. And mine is near complete and in near mint condition. And we have Beachcomber. Beachcomber actually was really good. Aside from the face in the car, it actually is just like his TV show version. So he gets a 9. Sea Spray, I'll give about a 8, 7, 7.5. Bumblebee, one of the few heads that actually look very close to the one on the show. So he gets a 9. Next we have Huffer. Huffer is great little car mode, mediocre robot mode, doesn't even have hands. So I'll give him a 6. We have the Stunticons. I've only got 4. Motormaster, well, he's kind of big, solid kind of guy in robot mode, so he's decent. I'll give him that 7. The different cars, I've got Dragstrip, Breakdown, and Wild Ride, I believe. Whatever the red Porsche is. They're pretty much all the same. You just flip the front end of the car mode back, do a little thing with the legs, and you got their robots. Simple transformation, yet look good, look like their show counterparts. So I'll give them about an 8. Bruticus. I've got all of his guys. My favorite is kind of Blastoff. He's really cool little shuttle. Good little arms. Little arms is correct. They're from the nose cone. But he's really one of the better ones there. So I give him a 9, and all the other ones 8. Blaster. He's huge. He's as big... Actually, he's a little bit bigger than my Bruticus. So, size-wise, he gets about a 6. But, cool boombox, so I give him about an 8 overall. Shrapnel, looked like his show counterpart, so I'll give him about an 8. Grimlock, probably the best Dinobot, in my opinion, along with Swoop, so I'll give him a 9. Slag and Snarl, both very good Dinobots, they get 8s too. Alright, Transmetal Optimus, great figure, 0 kibble really. So, he gets a 9.5. Rat Trap, Transmetal. Great, except for the backpack didn't flip over like it did in the show. So I give him a 9. I got Jazz. Great condition. I'll give him a 9, since I really like him and he's a cool robot. Power Glide. Great little figure. So I'll give him about a 8.5. Let's see, who else can I do? Astro Train and Blitzwing. Both, I'll give them about 8, or 7.5. Blitzwing, he's kind of blocky, as is Astro Train, and that's the end of my thing. Sorry, I had to turn off my watch alarm there, so I stopped it. So I guess it's my 5-minute review. I got an idea. Since I kind of mentioned most of my Gen 1 collection, why don't we start up a thing where you name your collection. You can send in, and we'll pick like one a week, if Brian okays this, that we'll have you take 5-6 minutes and just list off all the guys you have. Yeah, sounds like fun to me. Well, this is Rattrap 007 with my 5-minute review, trying to name as many ones as I can, get as many reviews in 5 minutes as possible. Let's see who does it next week. And you know there's going to be, since this is becoming a trend now, now that 3 people have done it. Until next time, next segment, this is Rattrap, signing off.
Thanks, Rat Trap. Coming up right now. Very good, by the way. Coming up right now is Goldimus Prime with a review of Poison Bite. Truth. Justice. The American way. Outmoded concepts or ignorance in practice. Galvatron sees it both ways. He understands that there are 2 sides to each issue. He sees both sides, and, in some instances, sees several sides, each more maddening than the last. Galvatron knows that the quickest way to the truth is a good, strong fist, and he's willing to get to the truth, or a reasonable facsimile. Elect Galvatron as president in the year 2000, first the United States, then the world. Paid for by the Committee for Decepticon the Decepticon Kindness Council. And thanks there, Goldie. Coming up again, right now, is Rat Trap 007 with trivia.
Hello, everyone. This is Rat Trap 007 again with my trivia. Well, last week's question was, what recent movie within the past 5 or 6 years featured Transformer episodes in it 3 times? The answer is The Professional. Or, for those in foreign countries, it's Leon. And the episode featuring the Dinobots prominently featured in it is SOS Dinobots. Only had one person get that right, that was Razorpack. With the alternative title, by the way. Alright, here comes this week's question. What was the original purpose of Autobot X? Got that? In the original series, what was the original purpose of Autobot X. Alright, email me at rmichael424@aol.com. That's rmichael424@aol.com. I decided to hold off my GoBots versus Transformers speech till next week. So look for it then. Trivia might be on next week or it might not. Till next time, this is Rat Trap signing off.
Hello, this is the computer. Brian has reprogrammed. Thank you. Brian has reprogrammed me so that I'm a much more productive and much less evil computer. I love everyone and everything. If you have a question you want answered, email askrxc@tfradio.com. Thank you. Remember the address. Email askrxc@tfradio.com. It is what is good for you.
And again, we have Goldimus Prime with his review of Car Robots, Episode 3. Take it away, Goldie.
Hi, this is Gary Charth for rfcybertron.cjb.net. RF Cybertron rocks.
Okay, it seems like the English dubs of the Japanese episodes are finally getting out there. I'm no expert in them by any means. The first time that I heard of them, actually, was told that they were made in Singapore for a TV station, but it was reported somewhat differently, and probably more accurately, on hot.toys.transformers recently. What I can tell you, though, are the evident facts. I have 5 or so of the episodes on tape. I have 1 on video. Actually, the others are on my computer. I downloaded an episode of Headmasters at http://on.2/tfwweb. And the other 3 I downloaded at tfarchive.com. They have huge 100 megabyte sized episodes. 1 from Victory, Master Force, and Headmasters. The first episodes of each. Nice quality. As far as Scramble City Zone, everything else, I think that they're dubbed, but I'm not certain. I've not seen them. As far as the quality goes, it's pretty good. The sound is nice and sharp, and all the music and sound effects are there, as far as I can tell. The problem, though, is in the voice acting. It's really generic. Actually, it's more mundane than generic. It seems like 1 or 2 people are doing all the voices, which, you know, is to be expected since it was a very small operation. The voices aren't flanged or anything, so they're all very human. It's odd watching the episodes sometimes, though. The first time that I heard Optimus Prime, whose voice is obviously different, you know, I got a good chuckle out of it. It's nothing like the Prime that we all know and love, or hate, depending on your faction of choice. Second, the characters often have the wrong names, or names that are just odd. Gajinrai's Optimus Prime. They don't make a distinction between the two, which, you know, that's a gray area anyway. Spike is Sparkle. That's funny. And the list goes on. I mean, these seem to be on eBay and Yahoo Auctions quite a lot, too. So, they're getting out there. You should be able to get your hands on them pretty easily. Here are a few excerpts. The first one is, this is Retgar's voice. You'll notice a difference immediately.
Hey, let's think of a solution! The Decepticons army has already started attacking the space bridge!
Now here's the meeting between Ultra Magnus and Six Shot. You'll notice the saturated anime dialogue immediately.
Just who do you think you are? Where are you from?
Alright, listen up. I'm the ninja consultant for the Decepticons. My name is Six Shot.
Oh, yeah?
Now you know who I am. Look out!
Sneaky. I'll get you.
This is my way of doing things. I never waste my time talking.
Is that right? I'm Ultra Magnus, the Autobots local commander here. Now I want you to see this.
Well, how come you missed me? This has been my way of doing things. I fight the way soldiers should.
And finally, here's the famous scene where Wheelie outsmarts Trypticon and tricks him into falling down a ravine.
The giant! I told you it was impossible. There's nothing we can do here. Come on, Donnie, let's get out of here as soon as possible. No, hang on, Donnie!
Huh? What is it, really?
Come on, Donnie, we should go that way.
No, we can't, it'll get us that way!
Trust me, Donnie, I've got an idea. Let's go! Hey, over here, you fool!
Be quiet, where are you going?
Just trust me! Come on, over here! Over here! No problem. You just go.
Way to go!
I do prefer these, though, to the regular Japanese episodes, being that I don't speak Japanese. I can overlook, you know, the cheesy dialogue and the wrong names. You know, I already know the names. I say, well, you know, that's, you know, Minerva. That's not, you know, not Beat or whatever. Subtitled episodes, you know, might be a little better if you can wait for those. Because there are Headmasters subs out there. I don't know if the whole series is subtitled. I know the first four or so episodes are. People are working on Master Force. It'd be nice to see Victory sometime, too. I know Zona's subtitled. I don't know about Scramble City or anything else besides Beast Wars 2 and Neo. Those are out there. And I know that people are working on Car Robots, too. So, if you can get your hands on them, you know, eBay or Yahoo, you know, it might be worth your time. It might not, depending on what you think of the Japanese episodes and whether you care or not, being that it's not in continuity with what we get here in the Western world. And you know, that's really it. I mean, as I said, you know, if you want them, go ahead and get them. If you don't, you're not missing out on anything that really affects you in particular. It's nice seeing, you know, some characters that didn't get toys over here, or that got toys but, you know, never appeared in the show, like the Seacons. Seacons. I said it right there. Seacons. I say Seacons, big whoop. Well, that's it for RSC this week. Hopefully everything will be on time next week. Hopefully. For the rest of the RSC staff, thanks for listening.